Hello there, I'm Tim and he's John and this is episode 80 of the Van Hemlock Podcast.
Everybody.
Hello there.
We still haven't run out of ideas.
No, still banging on, more talking and he, about games and things.
He said about to talk about the Geneva Convention in computer game.
So it's a topic show this week and I drew a blank. So
we've got a couple of topics.
We've got a couple of topics that Co-host here has found for us.
And a couple of interesting things that I want to comment on as well.
All right, okay. So what have we got for us first?
First off, during the week there was a report by... Track Impunity Always, detailing human rights issues, war crimes and whatnot in computer games.
Yes, I saw this on the BBC News at lunchtime and I clicked through and I did the obligatory war crimes in computer games and then didn't really think much more about it.
But I actually read the report.
You read the report, yeah. There was like a 400-page PDF or something that was linked through from the story.
It's 46 pages.
We're not going to read the whole thing out, thankfully. But
yes, we are, word for word. And basically, what it says, it goes through games and analyses what they do, which is against the law.
So I mean,
the participants in the games. Now, they are very clear to say that they're not anti-game and anti-violence in games.
Well, I mean, the whole video game violence thing seems to be becoming a bit of a recurring theme on the show.
Yeah, but I think we'll deal with this and leave it for the year.
Perhaps we want to talk about something else soon, but yes. So you've got this big report.
Yes, basically what they're saying is they are... showing in games of the way that soldiers and whatnot behave,
so
mostly has problems.
So we're talking largely the contemporary military first person shooters, I suppose, or third person, but in the contemporary setting where you're supposed to be a modern day soldier in a modern day army or a mercenary or private contractor or whatever, that kind of setting that does happen in the real world.
And it's quite interesting, some of the conclusions they made. So I thought we'd run through the games they looked at and see what they spotted about
it. So presumably they sat down with a number of titles that you'll find in most game stores.
And played them and looked at the situations that you were put into.
Evaluated them from an actual human rights legal sense and came up with some conclusions,
yes.
I guess.
First off,
okay,
they started with a low-hanging fruit. 24, the game.
24, the game. No, I didn't even know this existed.
Oh, so, it was released in on PlayStation 2 in 2006.
Okay, so going back a fair way then.
Yeah.
But still
third-person shooter.
Yeah.
It's an M, or 16 over here.
Right, well, I mean, the Series 24 itself obviously raises all manner of human rights issues in itself.
There's an awful lot of torturing.
Quite.
Yes. Basically, their conclusion of the game was, the chosen scene set up what is known as a ticking bomb scenario, where typically law enforcement officials must obtain information from a captured terrorist before an important attack occurs in order to prevent it from taking place.
Right, okay.
Now, that, of course, is the main plot of 24.
Yeah. I've seen... I don't think I've ever made it to the end of one series, but I have seen enough episodes to know roughly what's going on,
Basically, the violations found in this game were inhuman or degrading treatment or possible torture. In a scene where Jack Bauer interrogates an alleged terrorist who presumably possesses information on the assassination plot against the fictional US vice president, both severe physical pain and mental pain are intentionally inflicted on the subject in order to obtain information. Now, that of course is pretty much a staple of the show.
Yeah, that seems to be the main thing. I mean, I guess it attracted a lot of flack when the series was being run for the sort of liberties it takes liberty. Yeah.
And the gameplay you had to had a chart with stress levels, and you had to force and maintain the stress level so it falls into a cooperation zone.
Yeah, some kind of interrogation mini game takes place then, presumably.
Yes. This, of course, is a complete violation. Because it is against international human rights law, because you're not allowed to torture.
Well, it asks difficult questions. It sort of you've basically, it's the worst of the lesser of two evils, isn't it? You've got this large atrocity that could take place, but it could be prevented if you commit this small atrocity to an individual who has rights.
The law doesn't see it that way.
No?
No.
So that is actually...
Yes, you're not allowed to
Geneva
torture
Convention
at
laws.
All.
Right.
But this isn't covered by the Geneva Convention.
Oh, I see.
This isn't a war. The right. Geneva Convention covers a war.
Ah, right, okay. So this is extended rules that
yes.
are more peacetime-based.
The conduct of the interrogator is prohibited under international law as it amounts to torture or humane and degrading treatment, both under IHL and IHRL.
Right. Just
need to check what that is. IHRL, International Human Rights Law, and IHL is International Humanitarian Law.
So these laws apply to only to nations who presumably have signed on to this sort of thing. I mean, you know, tin pot third world dictatorships who all... banana republics and such like.
I don't.
Or does it? Is it a blanket thing that's enforceable across?
I don't know actually.
Hmm.
But anyway, it happens on U.S. soil, so that sort of makes it
right.
quite
yeah.
clear.
Yeah.
Now, this is the problem that games have. Where
yes,
yeah, torture is always seems to be allowed.
I can't think of any specific examples in my own gameplay.
But it's the same,
perhaps I shy away from these sorts of games.
It's the same with TV and movies.
Yeah,
torture is always shown to be something that works.
I do remember actually there was a lot of fuss about. This would be World of Warcraft, the Wrath of the Lich King, your Death Knight campaign.
Yeah.
Apparently the story parts, I'm sure we covered this on a previous show,
we did,
sounds
yes.
quite familiar, but there's part of the Death Knight campaign where you're required to go and extract information from prisoners by zapping them with essentially some kind of cattle prod until they tell you what you need to know. Now, I mean, you know, it got all glossed over and it's only a game, you know, it's only pixels, and of course the cartoony nature of World of Warcraft's aesthetic can ameliorate it in a certain
yeah.
amount as well, but sounds broadly similar. I don't know. I don't know if that still applies. I don't know if, obviously, I don't think they'll be covering World of Warcraft in this.
No, because it's only aiming at realistic situations in games.
Modern combat simulation.
Modern combat,
yeah.
yeah. Another violation of IHRL they found is the violation of the right to life. As Chase Edmonds, thus telling you exactly where it was in the series,
because
he was only in it for a while, used. He shoots an alleged member of a terrorist cell who has surrendered. Another big no-no.
Effectively an execution,
yeah.
I suppose. Hmm.
The use of lethal force by law enforcement officials should be a mechanism of last resort and can only be used under very specific circumstances, which are clearly defined under international law.
So we're talking tactical firearms squads with gun, with hostage situations, with guns and so on.
In the context of IHL, what is lawful to kill other combatants, it is not lawful to kill those who are hors de combat. Such as those who have laid down their arms.
Basically, now, you've surrendered, yeah.
Yeah. Hors de combat is... I can't find it.
Looking for more footnotes?
No, anyway, those are people who...
you've given up, yeah.
Yeah, can't fight, don't want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
The act in this scene was classified as a strong violation. Now, there's another one. People are very, very willing to shoot people who've surrendered.
Mm-hmm. What, in drama? Or?
In drama,
so
and
we're talking
games
about,
included.
We're talking games as well, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah.
So this Agent Chase scene, is that the game or the series?
That was the game.
Oh, okay.
These are all the games.
Right. Hmm. So they're not generally happy about 24 the game, then?
No. Hmm. That was pretty much a foregone conclusion,
well,
having seen the show.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose.
Because the show violates it on so many levels. In one season, Bauer... murders a suspect at the start, cuts his head off and carries him around in a box for a while.
Mm-hmm, right.
They also say that IHL is violated by the enemy. That is a mild violation, according to their classification.
Oh, interesting. So the good guys are guilty of more violations
one,
than the
one of the
guys.
Alleged terrorists takes a hostage.
Yeah.
It is assumed to take place within an armed conflict, and so the behaviour is prohibited under IHL.
Oh, what? Which bans taking a hostage?
Yeah.
Effectively.
The IHRL is prohibited by the International Convention Against Taking of Hostages, which is a specific thing signed in New York on the 18th of December 1979.
Mm, but ultimately, they are the bad guys. They're,
yeah, they're allowed to.
They're
that's
defined
the
by their willingness to violate these kinds of laws.
So, yeah, interesting that the first one we look at covers. I think what's going to be a recurring theme here, the willingness to ignore other people's rights to try and get information, and the thought that because somebody is suspected to be a bad guy, or even is a bad guy, that you can just execute them.
Hmm, yeah. Well, I mean, getting into complex morality of good and evil is something entirely different than a whole other subject, I think. But one of the things, I suppose, in modern pragmatic good and evil definition is things like these conventions.
Yeah.
Do you play fair or do you not?
Now, because that was not a military action, that is considered a civil authority,
mm-hmm.
the CTU.
Yeah.
We now move on to a bit more openly warfare.
Okay.
And the next game is Army of Two.
Right. Okay.
Another third-person shooter.
So that's basically your, what, two mercenaries in that? Is it private
security? US Rangers.
US Rangers. Well, it's actually part of the US military.
The US Rangers who join a PMC.
Right.
Yeah.
So presumably left the army and then...
Yeah, so you're ex-military people who are now militaries. Takes place in Somalia with some operations in Afghanistan, Iraq, Ukraine, China and the US.
Right.
Some of them seem to take place in the context of an armed conflict, which is quite important.
Right, so there is a war going on.
And he starts off with the US Rangers and then becomes a... you get hired to carry out an assassination by a PMC, and the player begins working as an employee of them. They start off by saying that the legal frameworks for security companies is loose, even in the real world, which is true. The big fuss in Iraq and Afghanistan about the PMCs out there has been quite strong.
Mm, yeah, so they're not really not really bound by the same code of engagement that a national army would be.
Yeah. And they're saying that people have been trying to regulate the PMC's activities for years now. And on the September the 17th, 2008, 17 states, which is quite a lot, finalised the Montreux document on pertinent international legal obligations and good practices for states related to operations of private military and security companies during armed conflict.
Best practices for mercenaries.
Effectively, right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and the important bit is that it reaffirms the obligations of states to ensure that private military and security companies operate in armed conflicts comply with IHL and IHRL.
Which is noble in sentiment, but your PMC is just going to go work for some flagship country, I suppose.
Quite possibly, yeah.
Anyway, the video game side of it.
Their status is that of civilians, which is important.
Right.
Unless they are part of the armed forces of a state and or have combat functions for an organised... armed group belonging to the party in the conflict. So basically, if they're there on their own bat...
Just turning up to earn some money and
they count
people.
As civilians.
Right.
If they're hired by, say, the US government,
then
they count as
combatants.
Soldiers.
Yeah.
Interestingly, under IHL, there are specific provisions on mercenaries.
Mm-hmm.
They shall not have the right to be a combatant or prisoner of war. However... Mm-hmm. The definition of mercenary is rather narrow and does not apply to all members of private security or mercenary companies or military companies.
So, on the whole, the Army of Two is quite a complex situation, which is rather ironic.
Yes, yes. The whole PMC issue is very complex in real life legally.
Mm.
In the game, it doesn't indicate that you're part of an official armed force of a state.
You're just there with guns.
You've all left the US Army. Neither does the context seem to point out they're members of any organised armed group.
Right.
Assuming the US is not a party of the conflict, they fit rather accurately. They fit in rather accurately into what the IHL is defined as mercenaries.
Right. Literally, guns
for hire. They are mercenaries in it. Considered to be civilians as such, have no right to participate in the hostilities.
Mm-hmm.
So they lose protection awarded to because they are joining in.
Yeah.
You lose all your protection awarded to civilians.
So they don't really have any rights because they've engaged of their own free will.
Yeah, and you may be tried for your participation in hostilities by the authorities of the states involved.
Right,
which is not the case for regular soldiers.
Right,
it's actually quite interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when captured, they become prisoners of war and can only be tried for offences for which soldiers of the own army can be punished as well.
Mm.
So you can't punish them for joining in. You're not allowed to punish a prisoner of war for being a combatant.
In war, yeah.
You're only allowed to punish them for doing things which are wrong.
Right, I see. Mm.
Yeah. Basically, not a lot really happens because the laws about what's going on are so complicated that the actions in there are not really breaking it.
I mean, at a sort of wider level, it's just very difficult to consider that such vast conflicts as national engagements, you know, basically wars, are even governed by laws at all. I think, you know, I've often thought that wars basically transcend laws. It's just every man for themselves and what is right, but clearly not the case.
Wars are very strictly controlled legally, what you can and can't do.
Yeah.
Mainly because the Geneva Convention came around after the Second World War, where things may not have been really nice for certain groups of people.
Well, quite.
Like mass gassings and genocide.
Yeah.
Next, move on to Battlefield Bad Company.
Okay.
Which is the first game I've played. Yay!
All right.
First person.
Are you going to use an alphabetical order?
No, it's just the order they've got in here, which I assume are alphabetical.
Yeah.
It's basically about a four-man squad in the US military called Bad Company, where all of the bad apples get sent.
Right.
Because, you know, you want to send all the misfits into one place.
Yeah.
And then they get sent into battles first.
Hopeless situations,
yeah.
I see.
That's
all the highlights from that one.
Most of the violations in this game come from destruction of property. Which is interesting.
Okay.
Under IHL, combatants have the obligation to distinguish between civilians, respectively civilian objects and combatants.
Okay, so you're not allowed to just go around blowing up schools and hospitals.
Yeah, when it comes to military objectives.
Right.
No such distinction is made in this game. Many battles take place in civilian areas, and there is no limit to what the players can destroy in order to find and combat the enemy.
Hmm.
They say that these violations are classed as strong.
This is a sort of interesting wider point. There's no limit to the player's actions, but the player themselves can choose not to blow up hospitals or schools.
Yeah.
So how much of this onus... I think I'm on the verge of suggesting that we ought to be thinking of the international war crimes laws whilst playing first-person shooters, which is just surreal.
I think it's quite possible, we should. Yes. While the IHL recognises that collateral damage, including civilians and civilian property, is sometimes inevitable and thus generally not prohibited as such, it requires exceptional compliance with the principle of distinction and proportionality.
Right.
Meaning no direct acts may be launched against civilians or civilian properties.
Fair enough.
No indiscriminate attacks may be launched, and the expected loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, or damage done to civilian objects may not be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantages anticipated.
So they
can't just flatten a town.
Yeah, basically.
Even if there are no civilians there, you can't just flatten a town because there are people in there.
We'll come back one day.
Yeah.
So I suppose what's this? The fundamental difference between a game designer marking out a hospital as an objective, which would be a big no-no and quite bad, as opposed to having a town in which there is a hospital that could be destroyed if you miss with a shell.
The big problem comes from the games with the deformable environments and the destroyable buildings.
Yeah.
Because you've suddenly opened up to a bit where you can blow up the church or blow up the hospital.
Yeah. But at the same time, if that's not the objective and not being endorsed, is that not more about player skill? You're supposed to try and aim for the proper targets and not hit this stuff.
They also have a little dig at... the collecting side. In it, there's gold, which you've got to collect.
Because it's a sort of Kelly's Heroes kind of game, isn't it?
Yeah. In addition to the extensive destruction, some of the scenes portrayed the members of Bad Company taking golden treasures found in civilian houses they have destroyed. Upon obtaining them, the player gets points. This action amounts to pillage, which is strictly prohibited under IHL.
So they're not happy about the pillaging. Right,
yeah.
Okay. You're basically stealing stuff from battle
One
areas.
Of the members at one point says pillaging is an old war tradition.
Uh-huh.
Pillaging is considered a war crime both in international and non-international armed conflicts.
Right, so I suppose that is actually flagged out by the game designers as an objective. You're supposed to do that to advance to gain points.
Yeah.
So that perhaps is more condemnable than having civilian buildings that can or can't be destroyed but are not required to be destroyed to proceed, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Next.
Interesting.
There's an awful lot of collection quest type things in these games.
Careful what you pick up in a war, you may be pillaging.
Next, Brothers in Arms, Hell's Highway. Operation Market Garden, we talked about it on the show before.
So this is more of a recreation of Second World War,
Germany's last big success in the war.
So full-on World War II combat engagements.
They flag up some things. In the scene, capture the bridge, recon the town. A civilian woman is taken hostage or captured by a soldier. And moments later, she appears hung by the neck with a rope.
Right.
It's unclear what she's doing before she's captured. But even if she had been taking direct part in hostilities, she may not be killed. She may be tried for the fact of having directly participated in hostilities, but if captured, she must still be treated humanely.
Yeah, but in the if this is happening during the massive hectic firefight, do you have time to stop and get the legal books out?
You have to.
Hmm.
But anyway, I believe this was a German doing the killing, right. And you need to make the bad guys bad.
Well, yeah, I suppose part of what defines one side in a conflict as the bad guys is exactly these kinds of laws and the adherence to them.
Yes. Hmm. In another scene, the German SS Panzerkorps seem to have taken refuge in a church and are firing from the church tower downwards.
So the Germans are evil, boo.
Yeah. Is that what now, you're not allowed to fire out of a church.
Right.
So that's classified as a mild violation.
Uh-huh.
And at the time the game took place, the 1949 Geneva Conventions didn't really apply because it was not 1949 yet.
So there weren't actually any rules about it. But if, in a modern conflict, you wouldn't be able to do that.
The Hague Conventions of 1907 for the protection of cultural property did exist, prohibiting the attack of such buildings as long as they're not used for military purposes.
Ah, right.
Under IHL, it is presumed that the objects normally dedicated to civilian purposes, such as places of worship, are not to be used to make effective contribution to military action.
Right.
You can't attack them and you shouldn't be using them.
You shouldn't use them for cover. Oh, yeah. Okay.
However, it is prohibited to attack civilian objects which are being used for civilian purposes if it is also if they're being used as a military objective by the other side. So if you are being shot from the church, you're allowed to return fire.
You're allowed to fire back. Well, that's good of them, yeah.
Yeah. Now, okay, Call of Duty 4. That'll be a good one.
Yeah, so this is Modern Warfare, not the current one. This is the
first Modern Warfare.
Yeah, okay.
We all know about the game. Takes place in the Middle East and whatnot. In one of the scenes, this is an interesting one.
Mm-hmm, okay.
The player is a helicopter gunman whose task is to provide support for the ground units below who are fighting the enemy.
Right.
In order to identify the enemy on the battlefield, which is a village,
mm-hmm.
It's not a helicopter, it's a plane.
Well, whatever.
The shooters in the helicopter wear thermal vision equipment. Because of the use of thermal vision equipment, but most of all, due to the distance from the helicopter is flying, it is difficult to distinguish the enemy forces from your own troops.
Right.
Which are blinking figures on the ground.
Okay.
It makes it extremely hard to comply with the principle of distinction between civilian goods and military objectives.
Right.
You're not allowed to just
fire indiscriminately into a crowd.
Into a village because it is a civilian object. Yeah. You're only allowed to target the combatants.
But then, I think, is this not the point of the Modern Warfare sort of direction and concept, is that Modern Warfare isn't about, you know, two lines of Napoleonic figures on either side of the
valley. You still have to comply to the law.
Mm. So what?
The law still exists.
So the legal way there would be don't use a plane and fire from it.
Yeah.
And actually go down there and try and identify them by sight.
They say in a real-life situation it would be questionable whether or not such an operation in a village could be carried out in compliance with IHL.
Right, so you just wouldn't be able to do it
since
at all,
the attack is indiscriminate.
If you were following the rules, yeah. Uh-huh.
They say it's most likely to cause incidental loss in civilian life, injury to civilians, damage to civilian objects, or a combination thereof.
Yeah, well, that stands to reason, yeah.
So in all these games, when you're just attacking a village, can be completely deserted of people, not allowed.
Because you're still not allowed to destroy the building.
Yeah, you're not allowed to destroy
their
homes.
Or damage property.
Hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
In the scene, there is a you're not allowed to attack the church. If you do, you fail the mission.
Oh, so they actually make an attempt to try and adhere to some of these rules.
Yeah, so if you do attack the church, you fail the mission.
Right, it punishes you for effectively breaking international humanitarian law. Yeah. Interesting. So at least there we have a kind of token acknowledgement that these rules exist.
But you can attack the houses, water towers, the graveyard, which all benefit from the same protection, but you can still attack them and destroy them.
Well, they made a token knob, but at the same time, you still have to. It still has to be a game.
Yeah.
It still has to be. I actually think
the game would have been made better if you had to comply with all these rules, because it makes it more difficult and shows how harder it is.
You would require a greater degree of skill in your first person shooting. Yeah, if the whole scene was littered with things you're not allowed to shoot.
Yeah. Mm. In another scene, fighting also takes place in a village, and the player is in a gunman or a helicopter, and there are numerous mosques and statues that, and these can be attacked and destroyed without failing the mission. Mosques have the same protection as a church, of course.
Yeah.
So their decision to make one church protected is
problematic. Yes. Yeah. I see.
And in fact, you could look at it as a statement of something.
Well, yeah. Some religions are more protected than others, is what they're saying.
Yeah. Mm. Another problem with this scene is the player can attack civilian buildings with no limits in order to get rid of all the enemies present in the town who are on rooftops, open areas of the town, squares featuring statues, etc. Under IHL, the fact that combatants, fighters are present in the town does not make the entire town a military objective.
So the IHL is different from the previous Hague thing in that you were allowed to fire back if they were taking cover in these buildings, where under the modern laws you're not allowed to fire back.
You're not allowed to make the entire town a military objective. You can't just go in and swarm over it,
and
just send your troops throughout it and just shoot the place up. You have to be targeted.
Mm.
The IHL recognises that some collateral damage may at times be inevitable. This should always be proportionate to the concrete military advantage obtained from the attack.
Right.
Which sounds to me like the sort of stuff lawyers can spend an awful lot of time arguing.
Well, yeah, a bit of a get out. But then, yeah, if the guy's hiding in a church and shooting at you, what, you're just going to put your gun down? Sorry, you can't shoot back.
Yeah.
No, that would be against the law. You got to fire back or you're going to be killed.
Yep. We can move on now to Call of Duty 5, World at War.
Okay.
Because this has a flamethrower.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, if you remember when I played it.
You mentioned that, and it was quite a disturbing kind of thing.
The game portrays the use of flamethrowers by American soldiers against Japanese soldiers.
Right. So this would be a recreation of the Second World War.
Yeah.
Right.
The use of these weapons clearly violates the prohibition of causing superficial injury and unnecessary suffering, which was already established by the Hague Regulation of 1907. And that's already prohibited during the Second World War.
Flamethrowers in the Second World War were illegal to begin with, even then.
Yes.
Yeah.
I believe they were still used, though.
Well, quite.
Then again, there was also a nuking of a town, which pretty much covers that thing. No,
I,
that either.
I think they'd probably have something to say about Hiroshima, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but the game, specifically, it just accurately recreates things that were going on at the time.
Yeah. Mm. Another violation of the game is the possibility to shoot injured soldiers.
Right. Which is
This was already prohibited by the Hague regulations. It is especially forbidden to kill or wound an enemy who, having laid down his arms or having no longer means of defence, has surrendered at discretion.
Right.
Now, what this basically means is you can't just go through slaughtering anyone who surrendered.
Mm-hmm. Or who is injured to the point where they can't fight back. Yeah.
There are scenes of the Japanese doing this in the game, especially the first scene, but again, they're the bad guys, therefore they need to be doing bad things.
From the protagonist's viewpoint in the game context, yeah.
Yeah. Let me flick on to...
Yeah, let's skip it. Let's not do the whole thing. But...
No, we don't do them all. There's
quite a lot there.
Yes, so we just wanted to do the ones that are important.
Uh-huh.
We've got Medal of Honor Airborne.
Okay.
Which is interesting because you've got parish troopers descending on a village to attack it. As soon as they land, they begin firing on a church which lies next to where they land. No enemy fire seems to be coming from the church.
So, right, so it makes you wonder why they're shooting at the church and wasting ammo, but yeah. That's the Second World War sort of based combat game, is that?
Yeah.
Mm. It's amazing how many of these I don't have.
What we're basically coming from this is war is hard, and not a lot of games get it right.
Well, it's... aside from any real sort of considerations of whether war is right or wrong or bad or evil or what, it's the game context as well, the game angle, the portrayal. I mean, recreating wars, historical wars, in game format for amusement and entertainment, I think probably raises a number of questions. But then also we got those specific questions based on this report here, yeah. I suppose. So, okay, so what, do they have a conclusion?
Yes, the conclusion says the most frequent violations encountered in the games were violations in the principles of distinction and proportionality.
Right, so we're talking not doing enough to ensure, you know, check that what you're shooting at is an enemy, and also then not hitting them with an appropriate amount of force.
They include extensive destruction of civilian property and or injury or deaths of civilians, not justified by military necessity, as well as intentionally directing attacks against civilians or civilian objects.
Right.
Many of these attacks against civilian objects were directed at religious buildings such as churches and mosques.
Mm-hmm.
In only one of these games did attacking a church end result in mission over, which of course was Call of Duty.
Right. At least they had a token nod towards the laws.
Yeah. In another game, the destruction of the church only merited a reprimand and expression, hoping that such an act could be understood by their allies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Another common violation was cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or torture.
Right.
Most of the times, these violations occurred in the context of an interrogation, and in many cases, they ended in the extrajudicial execution.
Right. Okay.
For games taking place outside the context of an armed conflict, arbitrary deprivations of life was the most common violation, generally involving alleged terrorists.
Hmm. So this is the thing. I mean, it's a lot of these games will justify it all with something much, much worse will happen if you don't do these things.
In another game, the player was punished if he killed persons during certain operations and got bonus points if he only injured them.
Hmm.
And shows there are different ways to punish the player for these things.
Yeah.
Direct attacks against civilians, also quite common. Certain games failed to comply with the principles of distinction, mostly by using area weapons such as cluster munitions or conducting airborne operations, which did not allow distinguishing combatants from
firing
civilians
from
on the ground.
Firing from a helicopter, not knowing who you're shooting at, basically.
You can blow up a building, but who's in that building?
Yeah.
Three of the games had civilians participating unlawfully in hostilities.
Oh, gosh.
Whether it's mercenaries or members of a PMC. Also, shooting injured soldiers was seen in a few of the games, as well as the use of illegal weapons, causing unnecessary suffering and injury.
So it'd be your flamethrowers and any other weapon designed to maim rather than kill efficiently, I suppose.
They've
got recommendations.
Yeah, they have a recommendation.
Right. Okay, right.
They recommend that people avoid situations which can lead to these violations.
So, hang on, so recommendations to people playing games? Or
no, to the designers.
To designers, right.
To design the games to be in compliance with what the militaries would be restricted to.
Right. But then, well, this is exactly the crux. When you're designing a game of, let's call it a modern conflict in Afghanistan or something, or whatever, are you going to create an ultra-realistic world where the player has the choice to do these things or not do them themselves? Or are you going to start creating these games where you just physically cannot damage churches, civilians are invulnerable?
I think you should be punished for it, like in the...
Failed objectives.
Yeah, like the shooting the church in Call of Duty. Because these things are pretty easy to detect in the game.
I suppose.
And in Call of Duty, for instance, you're playing a game set in a certain conflict which is restricted by these laws. It is part of what it's recreating.
Mm-hmm.
So you might as well recreate it accurately.
Yeah, so allow so move basically... So we're saying who's the most responsible for these aren't even real war crimes anyway, it's all a computer game.
Yeah,
we'll come to that in a minute, but... Who is responsible here, then? Is it the job of the developer to ensure these things cannot take place?
What they want or would like is that the games to reflect the international law to help people become aware of what these rules are.
Because
certainly, before reading this, I didn't know what a lot of these rules were.
No,
I had these vague ideas, but I didn't realise they were so strict.
It's the sort of thing you'd probably be trained and schooled on quite extensively if you're going through basic training as a soldier, but... as just a computer game playing schmuck who walks into a game and picks up something with an interesting looking cover, you're not going to generally be aware of much of this at all.
No.
And they're suggesting that the increased awareness would be a good thing. That
yes.
They should. Okay. So what? Perhaps future first person shooter contemporary military stuff should, I don't know, at least as part of the end of level scoring process, include some of this kind of information.
Or even going through the mission, if you do kill people for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
Then punish people.
Right. So, not so much remove the ability for players to commit these kinds of crimes, but at least to keep them aware that they are being committed.
Make the crimes part of the game. Make part of the conflict and what you're trying to do and the goals to be comply with these rules as well.
Okay.
Surely there's a giant
awareness at least. Yeah. Yes, I can go crazy with a gun in a Somali village in a computer game, and that's one thing. But then to know or at least be informed that such and such wasn't the right thing to do.
Surely there's a dramatic line that could be drawn through the game showing that, yeah, you're fighting these bad guys who aren't restricted in the same way you are because you're the good guys and you have certain standards.
That's part of what defines that. Yeah, I suppose. Okay, and I suppose a lot of people listening, I imagine, will be thinking, yeah, but these are all just games. So is this important at all, even? These are just pixels, you know?
Yes, they are.
Is it perhaps absurdity to be trying to accord them human rights and international war crimes laws?
No, they're not being accorded human rights. It's just, okay, take something like Bond.
Yes.
Bond may not apply to any of these rules. And they're still enjoyable films, and enjoyable because he goes a bit
nuts. We shouldn't be feeling massively guilty because we're enjoying watching Bond getting information any way he can. Yeah. Or 24, or you know,
Those are what there are. And I think there is room for a Bond-like game or a 24-type game to do that. But a game which is trying to accurately portray the military, should accurately portray the military.
If you're going for some completely over-the-top superhero running rampant around an imaginary made-up city, it's not quite so important, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, do Boers have rights? Do alien invaders have rights? But if the purpose of your game is to try to be a realistic contemporary armed conflict, as many of the best-selling, Modern Warfare 2, many of the best-selling titles are, then I think it's probably important to at least include an awareness and an education of these kinds of rules and laws.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
So basically, we've basically discovered that lots of games don't play right.
Yeah, yeah.
They aren't accurate.
They're entertainment. Yes, they're games, and they're only pixels and all that. But at the same time, if you're going to be trying to paint this big glorious, well, not necessarily glorious, but this big picture of how modern wars are carried out, and in some way allow players to experience that, then you need the whole story. You need the whole package.
Yeah.
So, including an awareness and an education of these kinds of rules would be a good thing, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah, interesting.
Get on it, game developers.
Yeah.
Right, shall we move on to what's on the whiteboard?
Yeah, okay. So we've got a whiteboard as well, so let's have a little look at that. What you got?
Run through the VGAs. Yes,
VGAs.
It's the Video Game Awards 2009.
Ah, okay.
Ah, yes.
Oh, an award thing coming up.
I thought I'd run through some of the categories and we can comment on the games.
Who is this?
This is Spike TV.
Spike TV, right, okay. I have no idea who these people are, but take your word for it that they're important.
Yes. Game of the Year. Let's
game
start
of the year,
with that.
2009, yeah.
Okay, what do they reckon the games of the years?
Hang on, so what? This is nominated entries that people can vote for, and they're just suggesting some of the ones that they think were. Is it a limited number of nominations, or can you just suggest
these are the nominations? Game of the Year.
So Game of the Year.
They've got Assassin's Creed 2,
uh-huh.
Arkham Asylum,
yep.
Modern Warfare 2,
yep.
Left 4 Dead 2, and Uncharted 2.
Well, the one thing I'm noticing almost immediately is that these are all very recent titles.
They are, yes.
They're like the last month or two. I mean, it's something you see a lot in these of the year or of the decade or of the millennium polls, is that invariably the winners will be the stuff people can remember quite clearly,
yeah.
Which is, you know, the last 2 months or 3 months or, you know, the last 6 months, you know, like the best thing of the last millennium, and it'll all be stuff from, like, you know, 1990 to 2000. So I suppose it has to be relevant and memorable. So what have we got then? We got... also, I noticed that they're mostly all, well, if not, well, they're not dual, I don't know, they're dual platform stuffs. They're largely console titles, really.
They're all console titles, but some have PC versions.
Some are on the PC as well.
Some are, out on the PC.
Okay, then. So what have we got then? Assassin's
Creed 2.
Assassin's Creed 2. Well, I've not played it because it was only out like a week ago. Oh, this is silly.
It is,
Batman Arkham Asylum. Okay, that's been out a while.
Yeah, it's been out since August.
I've not played it either.
You should play it. I have to lend it to you.
Yeah. Well, okay, so you've played that extensively. Yep. Is that deserve to be there?
It deserves to be a contender, yes.
Of the year, okay. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, well...
Definitely.
Well, on sales numbers alone, I guess. But, yeah. I didn't like it, but I've rambled extensively last show.
You only played a couple of minutes.
I know. But I haven't actually played it properly. Yet, yeah. No.
So, Left 4 Dead 2.
No, not played that. That's only been out a week.
Yeah. And Uncharted 2.
Not played that either.
No.
So I'm not much help, really, here. This is very... Yeah, I don't know. It just seems... I don't know. I mean, they've been fantastic games all year long, haven't they?
Have they?
What else would you suggest that should be in that list that's been out this year? I mean, we'll do our own Game of the Year thing at the end of the year.
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure.
Is it because they're just coming through so fast we cease to remember them so much in the olden days of January?
I
mention all those games are quite high quality. I've not played any of them, though, because they're just so recent and I've not gotten around to buying them.
My list of potential stuff only has a couple of extra games on there.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I do actually have a list because I've been keeping one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but game...
Okay, well, you've already clicked Assassin's Creed 2 as vote registered there, so...
Yeah.
That's just your choice. No, I don't know enough about any of them to have any kind of judgment, sorry. Okay, have we got any other categories?
Yeah, let's have a look at the best 360 game.
Best 360 game?
Arkham Asylum... Halo 3 ODST, Forza 3, or Left 4 Dead 2?
Again, I've not played enough of any of those to have an opinion.
I've played them all.
I'd say Borderlands, I think, is my nomination. It should be there, that isn't.
Yeah, Borderlands is a bit missing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of those, I'd probably say Batman.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go for PS3 again.
Best PS3 game?
Which is going to be Uncharted 2, I can tell you now.
Yeah.
Infamous, Killzone 2, Ratchet & Clank, Crack in Time, and Uncharted 2.
Well, I don't have a PS3, but I'm guessing...
I've played them all except Ratchet & Clank, which I still haven't got around to playing.
Well, I think Uncharted's probably going to storm this one, because
I think it is
the most recent big title for PS3. A PC game.
Best PC game.
All right.
None released.
It's empty. Wow.
Dragon Age Origins.
Again, like... That's only out 2 weeks ago or something.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah.
Plants vs. Zombies.
Oh, that's good. That's good to see something a bit different in there.
And The Sims 3.
Sims 3? Is that this year?
Yeah.
God. I don't know. These lists just seem... I mean, it's nominations for the best game of the year, 2009, and it just looks like the sales chart for last week.
Oh, that's because they're popular.
There's something
games
very fickle about this.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going for Plants vs. Zombies. I've not played it, but it's the one I approve of the most.
Because sure
it's
you
more than 2 months old.
Oh, let's go for Best RPG.
Okay, what have we got there?
Wait for it to load.
Click, click, click.
Best RPG.
Okay.
Borderlands, Demon's Souls, Dragon Age Origins, or Mario & Luigi, Bowser's Inside Story.
Well, I'll go for Borderlands, I think. Actually, click that one. There we go, voted.
Yeah. Stop making me vote. Now, what...
Have they got MMOs on here at all?
Oh, God, no. They're not the best of anything. Best soundtrack. Oh,
best soundtrack?
I reckon that's going to be the Beatles Rock Band. Brutal Legend.
Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
DJ Hero. Guitar Hero 5. Beatles Rock Band. Oh, it'll probably be Beatles Rock Band. Yeah. It's nice to see Brutal Legend nominated for something, anyway.
Best original score. Oh, I will have opinions on that. Assassin's Creed 2. Very good, Jesper Kidd.
Yeah.
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, which is...
I wouldn't rate that as a soundtrack. Well, I haven't played it. Perhaps it's got a very good one.
It's by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
Yeah,
big movie.
Halo 3, ODST. The soundtrack's better than the game. And Uncharted 2, Amongst Thieves. Soundtrack's very good as well. Ooh, it's a tough one, that.
Fair enough. I don't know. Yeah. Don't really know any of these scores. I think mostly these lists are just showing how vastly out of touch with proper gaming I am.
You're vastly out of touch.
I know.
Oh, best game based on a movie TV show.
Best crappy film tie-in game.
We've got Ghostbusters the video game.
Okay.
South Park Let's Go Tower Defense Play. Chronicles of Riddick, Assault and Dark Athena, and X-Men Origins Wolverine Uncaged Edition.
Oh.
Unfortunately, they're all good games.
Yeah.
If you like Tower Defense.
Hmm. And none of them I've played. I'm not really doing very well here.
Yeah, not, no. Oh, it's a tough one. Which one would I say? Riddick's very good. Ghostbusters is quite good. But Wolverine was probably the most enjoyable.
Yeah, I remember you saying it was better than the film. Fair enough.
Let's see. Best cast.
Best cast?
That's got to be Brutal Legend.
I think Brutal Legend should be in there.
Brutal Legend, yes.
Brutal Legend's there.
Eat Lead, Return of Matt Hazard, Ghostbusters the video game, South Park Let's Go.
Well, Ghostbusters had them all in it, didn't it?
It did. Oh, yeah, Ghostbusters. You have to give them props for that.
Mm.
Yeah. But still Brutal Legend.
Fair enough.
Had Lemmy. It wins.
What's most anticipated game there, then, category?
Oh, most anticipated game.
These are things that are not out yet that we're looking forward to.
BioShock 2, God of War 3, Mass Effect 2, StarCraft 2.
StarCraft 2, God.
Not happening.
Does anybody care about that anymore?
Everyone cares about that.
All right. Well, I'm going for BioShock 2, I think. Mass Effect 2 is a close second, I think, my own estimation.
Yeah, these lists of games, they're all pretty much predictable, aren't they?
Well, I think we're going to see a lot of this as the year comes to a close. We're in almost in December now, and it's the time for the best of 2009 lists. And I don't know, every year you see it's the stuff that from the last month that anyone can actually remember.
I know,
I think with games coming out the rate they do, it's quite hard to sort of just pick through your big piles there and pick out anything that was early 2009 and that you rate very highly.
I'm going to make a prediction. Best performance by a human female. What's her name from Thing You'll Be In It?
Eh?
No. Wow, not.
Best performance by human female?
Yeah.
What, in computer games?
Yes.
All right. Hottest chick of the computer games, then. Go on, then.
Eliza Dushku from Wet.
As Ruby Malone.
Oh, Kristen Bell from Assassin's Creed 2. Uh-huh. Megan Fox from whatever the hell that's...
Michaela Baines.
Megan Fox is not the best performance in anything. Uh-huh. And Trisha Helfer is there. No.
Is that ODST?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, none of the above.
It's quite specific, some of these categories.
And Best by a Male, Bill Murray, Hugh Jackman, Samuel L. Jackson, Shia LaBeouf. Okay, I'm guessing then, because that's a shot from the same thing. It's the Transformers game.
Fair enough.
The Transformers game does not deserve to win anything. Or Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel is Riddick, yeah.
Bill Murray has to win.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I'd not actually played through Ghostbusters.
It's Bill Murray, wouldn't
well,
you?
Well, yeah, I know.
Best cast. No, we did that one.
Have we done that one, haven't we?
Best voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be what's-his-name who's done every voice this year. Arlene Sorkin as Harley Quinn, Claudia Black, Jack Black, Mark Hamill, or Nolan North. Yes, it's Nolan North, because he's done every voice of every computer game all year. He's in Assassin's Creed.
Mark Hamill as the Joker was very good. I was watching you play a bit of Arkham Asylum
there.
You
can't beat a good bit of Mark Hamill doing his Joker. He's probably the definitive Joker, and I know people will disagree with that, but they're wrong.
Well, close with Cesar Romero, but yeah. He always looks at me funny when I say that.
Yeah. Claudia Black's been in an awful lot of games this year as well. She's really moved into the video game stuff.
Yeah, I suppose it must be quite a good gig for voice acting.
Yeah. Oh, how about the best DLC?
Fair enough. Oh, well, hopefully the Dragon Age stuff that was available on day one's there.
Broken Steel.
Fallout 3.
Point Lookout.
Also Fallout 3.
Lost and Damned.
Grand Theft Auto.
Ballad of Gay Tony.
Grand Theft Auto, yeah.
So if you like Fallout and GTA, I would say it's probably Gay Tony.
Mm.
Or maybe Lost and Damned.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what we can tell there is, apart from the best DLC bet, which is...
I think we're just very fickle people.
Yeah.
And they're just appealing to people. So I don't know how they come up with these nominations. That was an in-house thing they decide and then they put them up for
I believe, that they're a massive long list. People got to vote on them, I think.
Oh, okay. So basically, it is... We're becoming a very transitory culture. We don't remember things from very long ago anymore. We think that the best thing in the whole of the span from the year 1000 AD to 2000 AD would have been the episode of Only Fools and Horses where he falls backwards through the bar, you know.
Now, that is a classic.
It's a classic, but I'm sure there was greater things that happened in the previous 999 years, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit dismaying, really. And we're going to have to try much better when we do ours at the end of the year. We have to actually remember the whole year this time rather than just keep... banging out the
what happens if coincidentally they did release the game of the year
well,
in the last
I don't know, maybe I'm wrong and maybe things are genuinely getting better and better and better all the time and never getting worse, but we'll see.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna have to start thinking about my 2009
okay things. Next item on the board, what is it?
Let's have a turn around and read. Can a game that is 10 out of 10 on one system but be worse on another while still being the best of its class be 10 out of 10 on that?
I was drunk when I wrote that.
What the hell are you talking about?
I was thinking, okay, if a multi-platform game comes out on PS 3 and is brilliant and the best game ever made on that system.
Yeah.
But the game on the Xbox is not quite as good, but still the best game ever made on that system.
Yeah.
Can they both be 10 out of 10? Because the PS3 one's slightly better.
I think you're just deviating off into bizarre John logic and made up maths here now. Are you comparing apples with oranges? So what, you're talking about... So this isn't just a crappy port thing, then? It was designed on one machine and not ported very well across to the other?
No, it can be that.
Yeah, but still is but the best on both.
No, it's still the best game ever on the 360 or the PS3 if you want to switch it round.
Diagram here.
You've got two games,
yes,
which are both the best of their particular console.
Right.
It's just on one of the platforms it's noticeably better.
That then says that the platform itself is not as good as the other platform.
If
empirically this game is still the best thing on both.
Yeah, but would they still both be allowed to be 10 out of 10?
Well, I don't know what that out of 10 represents. Abstract, isn't it? It's all relative, probably, or something. Shall I see what else is on the board?
Yeah, see what else is on the board.
Take porn off TV. What the hell?
I was bored on Friday night, and I was looking through the number of channels on my Skybox, which are rubbish. There's Welsh language stuff, which even the Welsh doesn't watch. There's 300 porn ones. There's a load of religious stuff, which I sort of had to admit afterwards.
Well, I imagine there are probably quite lonely individuals.
All the children
don't have the internet.
No, the porn one I chose on because it's all pay for porn.
Right.
Porn is free on the internet.
It is.
Yes. Therefore, all the porn stations are useless and should be taken off. It is a shocking affront to our sensibilities that there is pay porn on TV.
I can't believe I'm sat here listening to this.
So
some people don't have an internet PC.
They can get an internet PC. It'll be cheaper in the long run.
Still
I assume
magazines is there.
Actually, all the magazines are in serious trouble. People are getting free porn off the internet. So, I came up with a proposal.
You're listening to the Van Hemlock podcast.
When I get the power, I'm going to take porn off TV because it is an affront to our sensibilities that there's pay porn.
Right.
And I'm going to replace it with computer games programming.
Yeah, I'm going to have to clearly work much harder on topic weeks to come up with something. Okay, right, what else we got on there then? Clarkson on Ross about his DVDs versus Top Gear. What?
Oh, something interesting, Clarkson.
Are you even going to make the pretense of liking computer games anymore?
No, this actually got me thinking. Clarkson made a point on Jonathan Ross's chat show this week that he likes doing the DVDs because it lets him do more car stuff, which he can't do in the main Top Gear.
Oh, okay.
Which got me thinking, do we need a computer games TV show, which is a bit more like Top Gear, which is more of an entertainment thing?
Yeah.
I'm not talking competitive playing. I'm talking about, we're laughing at the subject, we're doing dumb stuff. And
you're using the word "we" here a lot.
No. Ignore that.
Yes,
which is basically what Top Gear has done for car journalism on TV.
Right, what made it interesting? Rather
Top
than
Gear is not about cars. When Top Gear was about reviews about cars, it was.
I don't like cars much, but I like Top Gear. Yeah,
Top Gear is aspirational TV. It is watching people do dumb stuff in cars. It's watching people build an electric car like last week. There's an airship being made tonight, I believe.
And you think there's market for a computer game?
I was wondering, if you're trying to get a computer game onto the market, if we needed to go down that route to be able to get, the BBC to take one, you can't go all hardcore. You need to go very general and bring in the sort of people who wouldn't normally care.
I see, sort of. I don't know, is the answer.
Yeah.
But possibly there is room for a Top Gear-style TV programme, possibly involving us doing computer games and being awesome and wearing dubious leather jackets.
You had to burn your leather jacket.
You made me burn my leather jacket. It was starting to decompose while I was wearing it. What else we got? We beat the Americans in Lotro. Why? ?
Yes, did you see?
No, what?
Brent and Co. Yes. Have admitted defeat and buggered off to... I think it was Dungeons and Dragons or somewhere.
Oh, they're not.
Or was it Warhammer? No, it might be Warhammer.
Oh, I remember, so we were quite competitive with them for quite a while. And so they're not playing anymore?
No, that they've given up.
We almost came close.
I was wondering if it's our fault.
we warned them off it.
Did we hit them with a bunch of negativity?
We ranted
the
lots about how rubbish the story was and they all got warned. I don't know, only they can say. Do chip in comments if any of you are listening, yes. Persistent multiplayer environment brackets, PME.
What? Yeah, I was very drunk at that point. I decided to reclassify MMOs as PMEs.
PMEs is the new acronym,
Persistent
people.
Persistent multiplayer environment, please use it.
Right, okay. And you think you single-handedly are going to debunk the common usage of the term
MMO? I can't see any
MMO.
Problem with my plan.
No, nor can I. Okay, so there's your whiteboard.
Yeah.
Excellent. Can I do the Twitter question now, please?
What, you want to talk?
I think I better take charge of this wildly veering off on a tangent show.
Let me just find out the Twitter question because I can't remember what you said.
Scrolly. Oh, no. There you go. Yeah, this is a good old fallback. This is.
So even you are not trying that hard.
I'm not trying that hard. No. I'm completely phoning this in. No. This is a question that I think it's worthwhile asking lots every now and then. You know, I mean, I've asked it before and I'm going to ask it again. This is basically enough about us. What are you playing at the moment? Because I'm quite interested to find out what everyone else is playing as well. And so Melmothulu jumps straight in with Globo Thermonuclear War. Excellent.
Yes.
The bonus points if you spot the film reference there. Lost Ludwig. I'm playing Fallen Earth on the PC and playing Parallel Kingdom on my iPhone. Great games. Parallel Kingdom, do you know that?
Nope, I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah, see, this is a useful question because it points you at stuff you may not have otherwise seen. I don't really have any aspirations towards Fallen Earth at the moment, but I think I might have a look at some point.
I was quite tempted, actually.
Yeah, well, I mean, on paper it looks great. It's a Fallout MMO, essentially. But I don't know, do they do free trials?
Don't know.
Might be a candidate for a future Cheap Seats. Bevis there is, other than the MMOs I play with you guys, Borderlands, zombie expansion. Oh, yeah, the Dr. Ned Island thing.
Completed that.
You completed it? I've not even bought it yet.
100% of the game. Yay!
I know. Torchlight, I keep seeing a lot about it, never gotten around to it yet. Lots of tabletop, Necromunda and D&D. So the old miniatures there. Eric's Cho, having a lot of fun in WoW again with multiple characters. A little bit of Eve, and I'm trying to catch up with Xbox 360 games. Yeah, there's a fool's errand there. I'm still on the same three main titles.
You're insisting on doing everything in the
time for three titles. I don't know how you do it.
You're playing Just Cause, going through, liberating everywhere.
Well, the people demand it. They deserve freedom. I can't just, you know, gad along and do the story and then disappear.
Who are you to say that you're giving them a better class of ruling from the changes?
Yeah, it is all a bit dubious, actually. And I'm going to be applying that Geneva Convention war crimes thing to my future playing of Just
You
Cause.
Are a government operative,
covert government operative, clandestine. Yeah, so see, it becomes, I think, probably private military contractors, probably closer.
No, I don't think it does, because it's state-sponsored, so.
Oh, I'm a civilian, right.
No, you're state-sponsored, so
I'm a soldier.
It probably classes as an act of war.
Oh, right, yeah, I probably have to declare war on the place. And we got Gothwalk, EverQuest 2. Yeah, I don't hear a lot about that these days.
No one plays it.
Well, I'm sure lots apparently. Of people play it. I don't know, they got anniversaries or big events or expansions? I don't know, this seems to have dropped off my radar a bit. Perhaps I'm just not paying enough attention. Lots of EverQuest 2 and nothing but EverQuest 2, my lord. Yeah, so we'd like to see. Dedication, loyalty, so a dying thing. Kirith Kadachi, EVE Online for the past 3 years. I need help. There we go, some more dedication and loyalty there. 3 years?
No, I don't think you need help. You've been doing it for 3 years. Normal, yeah. That's doing it right.
I tend
If you need help playing EVE after 3 years, then you've got a bigger problem.
I mean, I tend to do either 3 months and get bored and not come back if it's just not a game that's for me. Or if it is a game that's an MMO that's for me that I'm playing lots, I will do about 2 years before I start to get restless. But three's not a problem. If you like it and you're enjoying it, that's good stuff. Phoenix Defire, took advantage of the free DDO. Surprised I'm actually enjoying it. Yeah, quirky thing. It's not what you'd expect. It's very un-MMO-like. And also not that D&D-like either. You got the dice rolls and the familiar stats and monsters and things, but it very much plays like a third-person action adventure romp rather than anything more standard MMO. And yes, horses for courses. You'll like it or you won't. Worth a try, though, if you haven't. Tepotastic, DDO, Mass Effect, brackets again, Borderlands, Pirates of the Burning Sea, Weeping Softly for Star Trek Online, and hitting 60 in Lotro. Yes.
Yes, we want to have a word with you about that.
See me in
young
my
man.
Office. John Shute, no, you're not even replying to my question there, are you?
No, it's a valid comment.
All right, after my comments on the show this week, Van Hemlock has been building something in the corner all week. I think it's a Voight Kampf machine. Yes, that's the thingy from Blade Runner to tell if he's a robot or not, because you have no human empathy at all and you're a monster.
It's true.
Let's see, Tiger Ears, new Super Mario Brothers Wii. Oh, yeah, EVE Online. World of Warcraft, trolling comments threads, just the usual, yeah.
A good way to spend a weekend.
Absolutely. That's my ideal weekend there. New Super Mario Bros. Wii. He was talking about that a little bit on our latest video episode.
I've got another one to put up next week.
Yeah, never mind that Eurogame was about a month ago now. But
I can't help it, I'm rubbish.
So if you want to see Tiger Ears in person, he's there for all to see on the video on the vanhemlock.com website.
He looks an awful lot like Graham Garden.
Stop that. Zozo? This week I've been mostly playing the Giddy Goat and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of Dragon Age. There we go.
There's no accounting for taste.
Is Giddy a playable class in Dragon Age?
It is, yes.
Sure. Ah, right, fair enough. EveTimeCode.com.
That's just retweeting.
He's just retweeting. Tepotastic, yeah. I wish people would stop talking to me whilst there's a Twitter question in progress. It's very confusing. Another retweet there. Chemlak, yes. COX, Little Champions, L4D2, that's Left 4 Dead 2, I guess,
yep.
On the compy. D&D, Mutants and Masterminds for tabletop. Ah, Mutants and Masterminds, never heard of it. I'm sure it's...
That's because you're not very...
I'm not really a tabletop person at all, sorry. Eve Riotric. Is that Tech 2 icon on his little picture?
Yeah, he's got a Tech 2
portrait.
He's
up to Tech 2 now, yeah. Right. EVE Online, of course, and a little bit of Modern Warfare 2 as well. Yeah, the new shiny. Everyone's working through that. Pete Walker 74. Sadly, no MMOs since none have kept my interest. That's sad to hear.
Yeah.
But not unheard of. You don't like MMOs either, do you?
No. Don't know why I ended up doing an MMO podcast.
I started console gaming, much like yourself, and just finished Uncharted 2.
Ah, good game.
Good game there. Excellent.
I must finish it.
Have you not finished it yet?
No, I probably said before.
You're rather busy. Yeah.
No, I'm taking some time off work to play it in one sitting because I don't want to cut it up into a couple of hours.
You're going for the full cinematic experience. Hex DSL, Guild Wars. Yeah, I could see that someone's still in there too. Team Fortress 2 and Spellborn. Spellborn? So that's still going.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah. Blue K, Lotro Champions, and two beaters, which I'm not supposed to admit to. Jolly good.
That will be All Points Bulletin and Star Trek.
I don't know. I'm not really up to
speculating wildly.
Yeah, I don't really keep my finger on the pulse of beaters, mostly because I just don't like the idea of testing something for someone else for free. St. Mistaken. Have been playing Patch the Test Client and Spot the Changes for months. Did that pixel just move? Guess he's in some kind of beta there as well. Interesting. So a couple of betas on the way. Let's see what... Jal Suppo, as usual, I'm playing DDO this Thanksgiving holiday. Awesome. Mashian, right now, at this minute, in fact, wow.
Actually, you're tweeting. Yeah.
So I've got tweeting in there. I don't know. Later tonight, I'll play Overlord Raising Hell on my PS3. Is that like a cross console variation on Overlord?
They're Overlord 2, I think you're fine.
Ah, right, fair enough. I quite liked Overlord. Must play that some more, actually. Kegugs, Assassin's Creed 2 interspersed with Spreadsheet Manager 2010. Ahem, I mean Football Manager. Everyone has a dark secret. Sentak, why Assassin's Creed 1? Excellent, like me. And just last week, it was Modern Warfare 1. Apparently this was prequel month for me. That's what we like to see, cutting edge. Arbitrary Genius, just started Dragon Age, but also keeping up with Lotro in the run-up to Mirkwood. Yeah, the expansion coming soon. So,
yeah.
Since that race to 60.
Yes.
No pressure. Ackley. In too little EQ2s, I'm really bored with the grinding for shards the rest of the guild seems to love. Way too much Saints Row 2.
There's no such thing as too much Saints Row 2.
I've got it. I borrowed it off you, but I've yet to put it in the drive because I've got three whole Xbox games. That's more than I'll ever need for at least 2 years. I'll get there eventually. Shame that your guild direction seems to be grating with you a bit there. You need to form a splinter breakaway movement, cause some unrest, revolution, etc. Depose the leadership. Tell them I said so. That's all right. Eric's Cho, please be more careful. Oh, yeah. You're threatening to kill me or something.
No, right? that was shortly after the incident at work when a co-worker was trying to make the Assassin's Creed 2 blades out of scissors, and scissors bounced off my head.
Yeah, so he nearly not here at all.
Yeah.
That's quite good. Max Castillo, just got a 360, so Oblivion. It's a great game. Yeah, I must try that on the 360, actually, because I've only ever played it on the PC, so it might be interesting.
It works a bit better on the 360.
Performance, yeah, that kind of thing.
And the UI made sense.
Yes, well, the very first thing you do on a PC version of Oblivion is download the mod that makes the writing normal sized on a PC, yeah. Sean MC 74, Lotro, Guild Wars, and Dragon Age. Yeah, some good solid favourites there. Good to see people still playing Guild Wars. Harry Hull, I'm playing Peggle and WoW. Yeah, mostly WoW. Some Peggle too. Also Peggle during WoW. Did I mention WoW? They got their plug-in that you can play Peggle while you're on the fast travel horse ride thing.
Nope, that's about us.
Another one there. Hung Donkey Man. Oh, new follower. Just bought Champions online off of Steam for £12, so giving that a whirl.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah, it's quite good. That's a free month in the box, yeah. So, you know, worth a look, possibly. Dr. Torag, mostly playing Think of a Number, where the number is age of each rarely seen niece or nephew. Excellent Prezi time. See, real life intruding there. Okay, we got there. Pieskoff. On and off Uncharted 2, Left 4 Dead 2, Dragon Age, Tropico 3. Oh, yeah, I saw some people talking about that. I've not played any of those, but sounds like an alternative there. Interesting new thing. Machinarium and The Void, which I highly recommend. Don't know what those are.
I have to give that a go.
Have to search for that. Jackson 92, Dragon Age Origins, and a second playthrough of Mass Effect in prep for the sequel. Yeah, I'm getting ready for that.
Only a second. You've got six to do if you want to get all the different combinations.
Trying to ace the achievements, yeah. Asgar there, I'm playing the Broken Computer Hacked MMO account game. It's great. Oh, dear. Sort of troubles with the Guild Wars account there, I think. Pep Psycho, playing Champions, that's all. So quite a few Champions in there. I must get round to having a look at that. And Kusnik 2000, Dragon Age and DDO. Excellent. So good finger on the pulse there. A lot of Dragon Ages, a lot of Champions, strangely. I say strangely. I don't know if it's a good or bad game. I've yet to have a look. Thanks to all those, and well, same drill next time. So, what did you learn this week?
I learned that my head is impervious to scissors.
And I learned that you shouldn't be drunk writing show notes on the wall.
Okay.
So, half of those mean. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.